Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice.
The Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line continues.
Not a game. We talking about practice.
On KMOX.
Keep talking side like a police. I got to find some better weeds. 4 or 5 meters running around.
All right, 7 o'clock hour of the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line. Follow me behind the bench with John Kelly and Blues head coach Mike Yale. Blues and Oilers tomorrow night. A little bit more hockey coming up later. But going to shift our attention to Florida and the general manager's meeting. So much speculation, especially concerning the Cardinals, about the future of what their team will look like, if Giancarlo Stanton will be a part of it, if he will be moved from Miami. Could Marcelo Zuna, Christian Yelich be moved? Where will J.D. Martinez be headed after it appears the bidding will be focused around $210 million from Martinez and Scott Boras' perspective? All of those questions we will ask Ryan Fagan, who's hanging out in the Orlando airport waiting to get back to Charlotte. So, Ryan Fagan of the Sporting News joins me next. Dave Sinclair, Lincoln, and Ford Sports Open Line. Don't go anywhere. Baseball coming up.
This is the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious. That ball was on the line.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, Blues back on the ice tomorrow, but we switch focus a little bit right now in our 7 o'clock hour. Oh, we're going to head to the Orlando airport and catch up with weary traveler Ryan Fagan from the Sporting News, great baseball and college hoops coverage as he attempts to leave the general manager meetings, but is hanging out in the airport for a while. Ryan, what's going on, man?
I am not optimistic about getting out of Orlando anytime soon. The flight was supposed to leave at 7:15 Eastern time, but at 6:45 they announced that the plane that was supposed to take us from Orlando to Charlotte is still in Charlotte. So that's not a good sign.
It's not that long of a trip either, is it? That's the frustrating thing. What's going on? Just a plane issue, or is there weather or what?
Yeah, there's no weather. They're like the general managers we've talked to the last couple of days. They don't say anything that's really the case, you know. So who knows what's going on? All I know is it takes about 2 hours for the plane to fly from Charlotte to Orlando, and they said we were going to leave. The time post right now is 9:27, and there's no way that's happening. So we'll see.
Scott Boras would call it Delayville, right?
I tell you what, man. He held court today. He spoke for a little more than a half an hour, and you could tell he'd come up with a term, Playoffville, and he was gonna knock that out as much as he could and use it in every metaphor he could. But you know, it's always interesting to hear an agent, especially an agent like Scott Boras, kind of give his spin and his take on things. It's very eye opening.
Ryan Fagan is with us. You can read him at sportingnews.com. Follow him on Twitter at Ryan Fagan. Stuck in the Orlando airport, but he has been at the general manager meetings in Orlando over the last few days. Question people ask me, it's like GM meetings, winter meetings. What exactly happens at the general manager meetings? And give us kind of a sense of what was going on and what the buzz was about over the last few days, Ryan.
Well, I think the GM meetings are really kind of a touching base moment for the GMs and the team presidents who are here. You know, I think that as fans, we expect things to happen right away. And because we see things happen in the winter meetings, we expect that to happen at the GM meetings. And that's really not the case. The GM meetings are just kind of a time. They discuss other topics, but it's a time for teams to meet. And they say, okay, this is what we need. Do you have any matches? So it's kind of like it's a foundation. You know, I talked to Bobby Evans, who's running things out in San Francisco, and you know, he said that the face-to-face is important. He's like, because if I want to, if I have 10 other GMs that I want to talk to, it might take me 3 or 4 days to get in touch with all 10 of them. At the GM meetings, I can go across the room and talk to all 10 of those guys in an hour. And so, you know, this is where the seeds are laid for what will happen in the winter meetings, which are back here in Orlando in the middle of December.
Ryan Fagan is with us. He has been at the general manager meetings in Orlando. We'll get to your piece on Giancarlo Stanton and the possible destinations for him, but was most of the buzz about not just Stanton, but about the Marlins? Obviously, you were a part of Derek Jeter's media scrum today, but
right.
How much of what people are talking about depends on what the Marlins are going to do?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, sometimes, and I've talked about this a couple times, you know, that there'll be one or two dominoes that everyone's waiting for. And when those dominoes fall, then everyone else acts because everyone's trying to get it. And it's usually a free agent. I don't really see Stanton as the same way because as much as we've talked about it, you know, and I've talked about it as much as anyone has, there's a very real chance that he does not get traded. You know, there's no huge rush. You know, if the Marlins have to play another year with Stanton as, you know, their right fielder and slugger, that's not the worst thing in the world. They're not going to make the move unless they get what they want. And what they want is a lot because they want a good package of players in return, of prospects in return, and they don't want to pay much of the $295 million he has guaranteed on his contract. Well, teams don't want to do that. So finding that balance is going to be very key. So I almost kind of see that as this thing that could happen that kind of overshadows everything, but it's not going to prevent teams from doing what they need to do to improve their club for 2018, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and there's so much speculation on what Stanton's no-trade clause means, and there are reports that he does want to go here, he doesn't want to go there. Listen, I don't blame any player for saying they'd love to go play in California or New York, but it's getting to the point now where people are speculating about what's been speculated, and you wrote about it, the rumblings about whether he'd want to go to St. Louis or if he'd want to go to Boston or this or that. But if the alternative is staying in Miami for another year, I wonder how that affects things.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing to remember, and I put this in there too, I mean, Justin Verlander said no to the Astros for a long time until he didn't, you know, and I think he's pretty happy with the way that that decision played out. And part of that, I mean, there's so many things at play here. Because of no trade approval, that gives the player power to not only say, okay, well, you can't trade me here. It's also a bargaining power. I mean, Stanton has an option year at the end of his contract. It's, I think it's a $10 million buyout, a $25 million option that the club has. Well, I mean, part of waiving that no-trade protection could be, say, you have to give me that last year guaranteed. You know, and there's so many different things that could happen and be negotiated, especially in the off season when there's not the pressure of the July 31st non-waiver trade deadline, when it's harder to get those types of things done. But it really allows Stan to control what he wants to do. And the thing to remember, too, is he has an opt-out clause after the 2020 season. He'll be 31 years old. Let's say he's healthy for the next 3 years and he's putting up 45 to 60 home run seasons. He could easily make more than the $218 million he'll have left on the contract at that point with the new contract. So, I mean, Scott Boras, the rumors are that he's asking for 7 years, $210 million for J.D. Martinez. Now, imagine what a healthy Giancarlo Stanton would be able to command in 3 years when the market's still, the money's still going off. So, he's
or maybe $500 million for Bryce Harper.
Right, and that's the thing. Once Bryce Harper gets $450 or $500 million, $250 million is not going to look like that big. I mean, it's still a lot of money, but relatively speaking, it's not going to make people's jaws drop. So, you know, I mean, there's a lot to factor into this, and that's why, again, I don't think anyone's waiting for this to happen. They're going to go about trying to address their needs in other ways, and then if they can add a guy like, you know, Giancarlo Stanton, they would love to do that. But it's going to be interesting to see the way this plays out. I don't see a resolution to this anytime soon.
Yeah, you would imagine that a team like the Cardinals, who can offer prospects but also big league caliber players,
yeah,
that would offset the cost and would maybe, you know, be a reason for the Marlins to take on some of what is still owed to Stanton. But there are some reports that that's not the case, and that maybe their ask is just, again, astronomical right now.
Yeah, because they can, you know, because, like I said, worst case scenario is he plays the 2018 season in their stadium, in their uniform, and he hits 55 home runs, you know, for the new ownership group. You know, that's why there's the pressure here is not on the Marlins. It's really not. It's on another team to make the Godfather offer, the offer they can't refuse. And that's, again, that's why the asking price is so high, because they don't have to do anything. And that really puts, you know, if we're ranking the positions of power here, it's Giancarlo Stanton 1, the Marlins 2, and everyone who wants to get Stanton down at, you know, a huge gap down at 25.
How attractive do you think some of their other pieces are, most notably Ryan Marcell Ozuna and Christian Yelich?
Yeah, I mean, those are guys that, I mean, any GM in baseball would love to have them. You know, both of them have a couple more years of contract. Yelich, a couple more years than Ozuna. And you know, he's on a very contract that's very team-friendly for what he's doing and the player he's become. And those guys are ones that really are more attractive, and they have a little bit more of a time frame, a time crunch than Stanton does. But you know, the Marlins are going to ask for a lot from those guys too. And I think this new ownership group is really in a position where they can kind of pick and choose, because they have pieces that people want, and they have, you know, players that will be very desirable. So they're really in a pretty enviable situation.
Ryan Fagan with us. SportingNews.com is where you can read his column with the five possible destinations for Giancarlo Stanton. I wonder, too, just dealing with Scott Boras and what we have ahead of us, Ryan, how much agents are going to continue to influence storylines and then what eventually might become reality, not just with the next couple of off seasons and some of the big time free agents, but there is, I think, weighing in a lot of these decisions, a CBA that's up at the end of the 2021 season, which could be a move to potentially a designated hitter in the National League, which could completely change the landscape for some of these contracts and really just for salaries around baseball.
Well, I think, you know, agents are always trying to shape a story. I don't think it's a coincidence that that 7-year, $210 million number was thrown out now this early. Because I think part of it is, I think a lot of people thought, you know, when they say, okay, what is J.D. Martinez going to get? And he's coming off a phenomenal season. There's no doubt about that. What he did, especially after the trade deadline, when he went to Arizona and helped lift the Diamondbacks into the playoffs, it was a huge boost to his value. But I think most people were thinking, you know, maybe 120, something close to what Justin just got a couple years ago, or what Justin Upton got from the Angels and agreeing to stay there and waiving his opt-out. You know, maybe $140, $150 million. So now Boras puts that number out there, that $200 million, and at first you're like, wow, now there's no way. And then the longer it's out there and the longer he's, you know, people are looking at his numbers, the 45 home runs and 122 games this year, you know, the longer, the more palatable that becomes. So, yeah, agents are always out there trying to shape the narrative in favor of their players. You know, listening to Scott Boras talk about Eric Hosmer today in the scrum, you would have thought he was, you know, the second coming of Mickey Mantle.
Right.
So yeah, they're always trying to make those things, their players look better.
Yeah, I wonder, like, with a guy like J.D. Martinez or Stanton, if you're the Cardinals, and this is a complete hypothetical, but if you knew that after the 2021 season there was a good chance that the DH would come to the National League, if that would, you know, be a deciding factor on pulling the trigger on those types of contracts.
Yeah, it's interesting. I hadn't really thought about it in those terms, but yeah, that's certainly, you know, J.D. Martinez, he's an okay defender. He's not a great defender. He's not a Gold Glove guy. He's not, you know, he's not the worst player in the world out there either. But in 5 years, you know, 4 years, what's he going to be? He's going to be someone who's probably more suited to the AL. So yeah, that could be. I'm not sure that a team's going to want to bet that much money now on something like that. But yeah, that's interesting. That's something that we could factor into it.
All right, that's Ryan Fagan. Sit tight. Going to ask you a little bit more about Eric Cosmer and a couple more names, plus maybe a little college hoops before we get out of here. It is the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line. Ryan from the Sporting News with us at the Orlando Airport following the Major League Baseball General Manager meetings. We're back with more with Ryan next on KMOX.
This is the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line.
It's got to be one of the dumbest calls offensively in Super Bowl history.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Talking some baseball following the MLB General Manager meetings down in Orlando, Florida, with our guy Ryan Fagan from the Sporting News. Want to talk a little more Eric Hosmer and more with Ryan for the next couple of minutes. Follow Ryan on Twitter at Ryan Fagan, at Ryan Fagan, and of course read him at sportingnews.com. You know, Hosmer is a really interesting case. I like him a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know if he fits with the Cardinals right now because of some of their roster redundancy and Matt Carpenter and Jed Jerko. The thing that I think I am most intrigued by when it comes to Hosmer is that he's widely considered to be a good defender, and like he's won a gold glove. Has he won multiple gold gloves? He's got a couple of them, but advanced numbers do not like him defensively. And you are trying to find that line between if he is a good defender, if the advanced numbers have to do with who's throwing him the ball, if it's pitchers trying to make pickoff moves that are getting past him, the range of the second baseman next to him. It's just interesting, and I think as we get more and more information, it'll continue to shape the way these guys are viewed, because in the past, 10 years ago, if you said, oh, he's a gold glover, well, you just take that for its word. But the more information we have, you kind of start to cross-examine some of the accomplishments with some of the data we have.
Well, yeah, and it's also not a coincidence that Boris went kind of on a diatribe about fielding numbers too, the advanced metrics.
Oh, he was crushing them. And like the last the end, 2 years, yeah, he's been a -6 and a -7 defensive run saved at first.
You know, it's interesting, especially first base as a position. I mean, because if you talk to any of the Royals infielders, they will just sing the praises of Eric Hosmer.
Oh, yeah.
And you can tell the difference. You've been around enough players to know when players are giving you lip service, say, yeah, that guy's really good, or when they really believe that guy's great, and their belief in that guy, especially first base, gives them confidence to make throws that they need to. You know, the KC infielders will tell you, and they believe Hosmer is the gold glove guy. You know, and so I think that there's a lot to that. I don't, you know, he's certainly not, even though the numbers haven't been good, as you mentioned, he's certainly not going to lose any money because of that.
No doubt.
Aspect. I think, you know, the question with Hosmer is, yeah, he had a great year this year. He's been hot and cold. He's had seasons where he's all-star caliber, and he's had seasons where he's not. So, you know, I'm really fascinated to see what, you know, as much as any of the premium-type players this year, I really have a hard time kind of figuring out where he's going to fit and how much money he's going to get.
You know, it's almost, he won't get the Jason Hayward deal, but it's almost similar just because it's rare to see a guy who just turned 28 will play his full 28, 29 seasons, kind of that peak, you're supposed to be coming into your peak couple of years in the first few years of the deal, just because of how young he was, 21, when he played his first full season. Guys just generally don't hit free agency that often.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be interesting because we're going to see next year, you know, Manny Machado and Bryce Harper hitting at 26. You know,
he'd
never see superstars hitting at 26. And that's why, you know, we hear this, you know, this number, and you mentioned it, you know, the $500 million number, $450, $400 million. I mean, the bidding is going to start at $400 and quickly go up. So, and that's because teams are going to be getting his age 26, 27, 28, 29 seasons. That's not normally the case, like you're talking about. Normally a guy gets free agency at 30 or 31, somewhere there. So you're accepting, if you give that guy a seven-year deal, you're accepting that, okay, we're paying for 4 years of peak, and then we're overpaying for the last 3 years of peak because that's what it's going to take to get the first 4 years of peak. You know, so but with Harper and Machado, I mean, you're going to see, you know, 10-year deals, 12-year deals, 13-year deals, kind of, you know, similar lengthwise to what Stanton got when he extended with the Marlins, but way, way more in terms of, you know, overall money and average annual value.
Couple more minutes with Ryan Fagan of the Sporting News as we help him kill some time in the Orlando airport. Ryan, as you were getting through security, the news breaks that Max Scherzer wins the National League Cy Young Award. He is the 10th pitcher in baseball history to win three Cy Young Awards. He gets 27 of the 30 first-place votes. You were one of those 27. You actually nailed the first four. Scherzer, Kershaw, Strasburg, Greinke in that order. Kenley Jansen finished fifth with 22 points. Walk us through, if you don't mind, kind of what you do from the time of getting this ballot to the time you place your vote. And, you know, the numbers, while maybe on the surface looked very, very similar for Scherzer and Kershaw, just an unbelievable year for Max Scherzer and obviously you and all your colleagues along the same lines.
Yeah, I was really kind of fascinated to see how that vote would go in terms of the first place, second place, third place, because I'll be honest with you, as I was going through the numbers, I always kind of pay attention. I'm keeping track. I'm watching starts. Then at the end of the year, I kind of get together, and I'm kind of old school this way. I'll take a pen and a paper, and I'll write down everyone's stats. I use, like, I've got, like, 18 to 20, 25 stat categories, and I write everything down on a piece of paper because in that tangible way, you can see not only what Scherzer's numbers are, and then I'll use guys that are, you know, 12th, 13th, 14th in WAR and ERA in these numbers just so I can get a grasp of how good the elite guys really are. Because if you're just comparing, you know, Strasburg, Scherzer, and Kershaw, you're not going to get a grasp of how good those guys really are. So I try to look at all of those things and really just spend a day or two, you know, spend a day analyzing everything I can, let it sit, let it marinate, and then the next day kind of go on and make my final choices. But, you know, when I looked through the numbers this year, what I was really surprised about was how closely Strasburg compared to Scherzer and Kershaw. Everyone talked about those two guys as being, you know, far and away the number one and two in some order, but Strasburg's numbers were really, really good. I mean, like, legitimate Cy Young worthy in a different season. And so I think that, you know, when you talk about one staff having two of those guys that put up Cy Young caliber seasons, I think then you know, not to harp on Washington's playoff issues, but, you know, you start to get a sense of why they're so disappointed there.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. And I'm always fascinated looking at the voting. And again, you got it pretty much right on. And I always look for what stands out. And a little surprised that this year Clayton Kershaw got one fourth place vote. That would be from Kaizo Konishi from the Kyoto News, who went Scherzer, Greinke, Gio Gonzalez, Kershaw, Jansen, and didn't even have Strasburg in his top five.
That surprised me a little bit, the Strasburg thing. But I'll say this with Kershaw: if you want to make a case for Kershaw at third or fourth, it starts with the innings.
Oh, I agree, 175
innings. You know, and that to me, that was a big difference between one and two. And I thought that even if they would have had the same numbers, Scherzer would have had a little bit of an advantage. But, you know, when you're talking about difference of 25 innings, Kershaw threw 175 innings, and Scherzer threw 200. You know, 25 innings, that's four starts. That's a lot of innings. That's important. There's a value in being on the mound that much more than someone else. And,
well, the Dodgers,
you know, not spending the time.
The Dodgers were cruising when he was injured this year.
Yeah, you know, and that's part of the thing, too. It's, you know, it's not like they had to bring him back. You know, the Dodgers were very careful, you know, not to rush him back. And the only goal once he went on the DL really was to get him so he wasn't rusty coming back into the postseason, which is all fine and good, and that's the way they should do it. But, you know, the reality is that, you know, Scherzer had these better numbers in a lot of categories, and he had the 25 more innings. And, you know, there's, when you're trying to split hairs, which is really what you have to do, you're trying to find areas where somebody has significantly more value or did significantly better, you know, and that was one of them. I'm not saying I voted for Scherzer 1 and Kershaw 2 just because of the innings, but, you know, that certainly played a role in it.
Ryan Fagan also does a great job covering college hoops. I'm sure you were keeping an eye on the basketball last night. I think that
yeah.
Champions Classic in Chicago that they do every year, Duke, Michigan State, Kansas, Kentucky, is one of the coolest just early season things that we have in sports.
Yeah.
I applaud them for doing that. You obviously are right in the Duke Carolina wheelhouse right there. What do you have your eye on early right now? Are you going to be in a gym this weekend? How do you kind of balance some of your baseball coverage right now with the beginning of college basketball season and some of the tournament wackiness that we have over the next few weeks?
Well, it's kind of evolved over the last couple of years. It used to be I'd jump back into the college hoops pretty quickly, but last year, and especially this year, I'll be doing a lot more MLB off-season type stuff. I have went to see Wofford play South Carolina, because Wofford is a school that I've done a couple stories on. They opened up a new gym, a new arena that's just beautiful, and obviously South Carolina coming off the Final Four berth, I figured that was a game I'd go down and see. It was last Friday, the kickoff day. So, you know, I mean, with Duke, you know, Duke looks so good, you know, and it just so happened that right as soon as I got back at the hotel, Marvin Bagley caught the finger in the eyes, but he went out. I felt bad that I jinxed him a little bit, but, you know, I mean, they're so good. You know, I mean, Grayson Allen, everyone was talking about for good reason. He was, you know, 37 points. He had a great game, but they have so many guys that can score. They have so many guys that can attack the basket. The tenacity with which they attacked the offensive rebound or the offensive board was really, really impressive, you know, against any team, but especially a team like Michigan State. Tom Izzo, a coach that has really stressed that defensive rebounding, especially over the years, to do that was really, really impressive. And, you know, when you're talking about Carolina, I know they weren't there at the Champions Classic, but so much of what they do early in the season depends on Joel Berry. You know, when he's coming back, and he's apparently supposed to come back pretty soon, he's not going to miss the month and a half they initially thought when he broke his hand during the off season. So that's good for them. It's going to be an exciting month or exciting season for college hoops, and I can't wait to see a certain Mizzou freshman actually play more than 2 minutes of the game too.
Yeah, at least the rest of the team has looked good. We'll have to have you back on once we know a little bit more about Mizzou. Good luck in the Orlando airport, man. I'm usually just an airport Chili's guy. Just pull up, have a beer, chips and salsa. Great little local pizza joint named Sbarro that I'm sure maybe you'll find.
I guess that's what Michael Scott loves.
Yeah, exactly.
New York.
Authentic New York pizza. There's one place in the Orlando airport. God, I forget what it's called. I think it's called like the Flask and Ladder or Cask and Ladder. I don't know. Some place with good local beer. So I'm sure you'll walk around and maybe find some hoops on a television and find a beer and wait for your flight. And we certainly you know, appreciate you passing some of the time talking some baseball with us.
Always enjoy it, Chris.
All right, read Ryan at sportingnews.com. Follow him on Twitter at Ryan Fagan, or just go to the Sbarro's in the Orlando Orlando Airport food court. Ryan, we'll talk to you later, man. Thanks.
Thanks, Chris.
General manager meetings wrapping up, and what will the future hold for Giancarlo Stanton and the Miami Marlins? 436-7900 is the telephone number. Some more thoughts on a couple of the names that have been floated out at the meetings over the last few days when we come back on Sports Up and Line.
Thursday night, it's the Blues and Oilers. Pregame 7:30. Chris Kerber and Kelly Chase have all the action beginning at 8. Hear it here on your home for the best Blues coverage, KMOX.
We couldn't do diddly poo offensively. We couldn't make a first down. We couldn't run the ball.
Now, back to the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line.
We couldn't complete a pass. We suck.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
We'll be right back.
All right, thank you to Ryan Fagan for joining us to talk a little Major League Baseball general manager meetings. Giancarlo Stanton, Scott Boras, Derek Jeter was there addressing the media today. They're kind of being, like, if you're the Marlins, why would you say what the asking price is? A team's come to you with their best offer and then take it from there. But reports from John Paul Morosi today and others that the Cardinals have been involved, at least in some conversations with the Marlins. And I imagine not just Giancarlo Stanton, but Marcell Ozuna, Christian Yelich, Brad Ziegler is a name in their bullpen that has been connected to the Cardinals in the past. So we appreciate the time of Ryan Fagan for coming on to chat a little bit with us. I will be down at the winter meetings in Orlando in about 3 weeks with Mike Claiborne, bringing you all of the coverage from Orlando. We're going to visit with Chris Landry in our next hour, and we often talk about Nick Saban and the way he likes to talk and deal with the media. And this is from Saban's press conference today, just approaching the podium and had a little sartorial commentary, a little fashion commentary for the assembled media when he gathered to give his weekly news conference.
I guess I just wanted to know how we got here. Not to offend anybody out there, but I just walked by some jeans, wore out jeans, holes in them, all cut up. I just remember when I was a kid in West Virginia, I was ashamed to go to school because my jeans were wore out, only because we didn't have any better. Now they buy them that way. I just can't figure out how we get here. I don't know.
It's Nick Saban on denim. Yeah, you'd probably be surprised to find out how much some of those jeans cost, Coach. But those are Nick Saban. It's like a commentary on humanity.
I guess I just wanted to know how we got here.
Now, at that point,
not to offend anybody out.
At that point, he could go a lot of ways, right? Like, how did we get here? Not to offend anybody out there.
I just walked by some jeans. Wore out jeans.
Holes in them.
All cut up.
That don't play with Nick Saban. Take your jeans to the damn dry cleaner. Get a nice crisp crease in them. Have a little pride in the denim that you're sporting around Tuscaloosa. What are you doing? I imagine Nick Saban, probably not a lot of commonalities in terms of wardrobe choices with most of the young men that are playing football for him. But hey, that's Nick. We'll ask Chris Landry if he owns any distressed, worn out, ripped up jeans with LandryFootball.com report. It's coming up after the news. It's the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln, and Ford Sports Open Line. Chris Raby with you. 2 hours in the books, 1 hour to go. Chris Landry next on KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.